text upon which we meditate briefly comes from Luke chapter 24, beginning at the 25th verse, where Jesus speaks to the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. What little faith you have, how slow you are to believe all that the prophets have announced, and to go all this, so as to enter into his glory. That is the text. Dear friends and Christ Jesus. Some years ago, an international poll was taken to discover the name of the person most widely recognized throughout the whole world. The results of this poll were surprising to quite a few people, because the person was not the President of the United States, nor the Pope of Rome, nor Muhammad Ali, the boxer, but it was a soccer player from Brazil, by the name of Pelé. Now, he is so well known internationally in the first place because 140 countries participate in World Cup soccer. Secondly, he was such a great player that he led his team from Brazil to an unprecedented three-time World Cup championship. There's a third reason why he was able to become so popular, simply because he's a good man. And people respected him and loved him because he is a good man. Not too many years ago, he played his last game, and he was standing there in the center of the field before 75,000 people in the stadium and millions more on television, in this moment of final tribute, and he said to the crowd, "Say after me three times, love, love, love." And each time he said the word love, the response thundered back from the crowd, "Love." And then he made a little closing speech in English, a language that he had learned only 3 years before. And he said, "This moment, very unhappy, I stop to do what I like to do most in life, play soccer." And then he added softly, "I got a little bit today." Something like this has happened to each of us somewhere, so we know his situation. "I've done a little bit today." This was also reflected in the words that St. Paul wrote to his friends in the congregation of Corinth. Paul, when he experienced the new life in Christ, had such a transformed and changed life that he dedicated his whole life to the sharing of the gospel in the Mediterranean world. And he literally died a little bit every day. That's reflected in these words to his friends at Corinth, saying, "Five times I received 40 lashes less one, three times I was beaten with rod, stoned once, picked up three times, I traveled continually endangered by floods, robbers, my own people, the Gentiles, impaled in the city, in the desert, at sea, and by false brothers, enduring labor, hardship, many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, in frequent fasting, in cold and nakedness, and even other sufferings unmentioned, there is that daily tension pressing on me, my anxiety for the patient, a rather breathtaking list." And now it's interesting to note that here in 2 Corinthians, Paul speaks of his daily death in the context of a very powerful detail on the resurrection. And his very great, great prayer, he says that the God of resurrection power is always working in our lives through a process that we can call death and resurrection. You see, unless there is the death of a grain and a seed, there is no new life, nor is there any harvest. And resurrection is the new life, the new thing that God does for us. But the only way that it can come is the rest in the universe. So it's time that we first to learn what resurrection means in our daily life. So that when we finally have our bodily death, that moment too can be a moment of glory by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every day we die a little bit. You can look at life that way. A newborn baby gives up the comfort and warmth of a mother's womb in order to have life. A child gives up the security of home life for that first day of school. That can be a traumatic experience. The student can give up the structured life of the academic community in order to graduate and get out in the real world. And there are other ways in which daily death comes to us too, in broken relationships, in illness, in divorces, and frustrations, and the death of a loved one. One man counts his daily death by the number of times he gets up in the morning to a job he hates. Daily death for another is that there is no work at all for him. There is the story of a seminary professor, perhaps it originated on this campus, who was lecturing to a class of teacher teachers. And he was trying to impress upon the students the importance of using facial expressions while we're teaching. And so he said, now when you speak of heaven, let your face light up a little bit. Show something of that reflected glory. And when you speak of heaven, your everyday face will have to be. Yes, there are times when your everyday face and my everyday face reflect something of the problems we're going through. At the same time, honor the knowledge and experience that we have with the Lord tells us that in that very moment, the Lord, in the power of the resurrection, wants to come to us and to help us if we're not living. God wants to bring life out of that death, life out of that loss, life and power out of that frustration. I guess it's all there in the lines of an old spiritual that someone called the greatest poem ever written in America. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows my sight. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Glory, hallelujah. Nobody knows my trouble. But how does it end? Glory, hallelujah. God is still there. God is there with his resurrecting power, and he wants to help us. That's the rest of the gospel from which our text is taken here, with these two disciples on the way to Emmaus, where Jesus meets them on the road, and they proceed to tell him about the whole story of the crucifixion and the empty tomb, how confused and distressed they were, and they said to him, "We were hoping that he was the one who would set Israel free." That's what they said to Jesus. And when they finished, he said to them, "What little sense you have. How strange you are to believe all that the prophets have announced. Did not the Messiah have to undergo all this so as to enter into his glory? Yes, Jesus had to leave the warmth of Mary's womb to be delivered in a cold barn so that he might live. And for that moment on, he became subject to God's ways, and we can look at it as a process, which we are describing this morning as a process of death and resurrection, a day-by-day happening. And so, when the agony of the enemy is upon him, he is prepared for it, and he could pray to the Father, "Not my will, but thine be done." And so he went through the whole plan, God's plan, of redeeming the human family. He gave everything up in death to the world that he might receive his glory. Did he not know that the Messiah had to undergo all of this in order to enter into his glory. We will never know how good God has been to us until we learn to accept the way in which he's working through us for our fulfillment. The seed you sow needs to die before it can germinate. Every day we die a little bit. So that when physical death comes, we might have life. And yet, he says, sometimes we still think that God naked and empty-handed and defenseless and poverty-stricken and hopeless, and we just can't quite get control of things. It's as though we have nothing to lean upon. Until we are enough that we can lean upon the promises of God. And this is where Jesus comes in. Not in the lofty and the excitable experiences of life. Not in glory, but in humiliation. Not in power, but in weakness. Not in full-fledged women, but in an empty place where he's the only possibility. Did you notice how he came to the disciples on the way to Emmaus? Very simple, common way. And the final result, the secret for Cleopas and his partner, is that Jesus opened the room, the scriptures for him. You see, as long as they kept looking for him in the spectacular event as the liberator of Israel, they would never find him. But when Jesus spoke the scriptures to them and sat down and pleaded with them, their eyes were opened. They saw him and recognized him, he disappeared. Then Israel were laying down. The world hadn't changed, so what happened to them? You notice they now had what they needed. They had his word. And they took off on a dead run. Not running from anything this time, but running to stay without it. This is a way in which we can, as we approach the Lenten season, at least once in a while, look at our life. In terms of dying a little bit every day, in terms of a fact that we can call death and resurrection. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses human understanding, keep your hearts and minds, we pray in Christ Jesus, until life eternal.